Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. What is your cat trying to say to you when it meows or mews or purrs? Well, my guest today was wanting to answer the same question. She's an inveterate cat lover and a linguist at Sweden's Lund University. Suzanne Schetz is a phonetician who began to decipher the meaning and the root of the vocalizations cats make to their humans. Right now, she's in the midst of a 5-year study examining accents in cats' vocalization to understand if how a cat meows, mews, purrs, hisses, or howls changes based on the message the cat is trying to convey. Here's a couple of examples. Here's one cat first begging for food. Now, here's the same cat asking for attention, wanting to be picked up. According to Schetz, it's the same vocalization, but they sound entirely different, and they're conveying different meanings. Schetz is the author of The Secret Language of Cats, How to Understand Your Cat for a Better, Happier Relationship. It's published by Hanover Square, and she shares her research with us today on Studio Tulsa. Suzanne Schetz, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
How did and why did you become interested in trying to decode the way cats communicate with humans?
Well, I work as a phonetician at a university in Sweden, and there I work every day with human speech. I listen to vowels and I use the phonetic alphabet to transcribe them. I do acoustic analyses of speech sounds. I analyze the speech melody, the rhythm, and stuff like that. But I'm also a cat lover and a cat owner. And when I came home from work and my cats were vocalizing at me, using sounds to communicate with me, I couldn't help but listening closely to what they were doing with their voices. And I found that they had a very, very large vocal repertoire. You know, cats don't only meow or purr, they also hiss and trill and growl sometimes and howl and do lots of other sounds. And I found that so interesting to learn more about them. And even a meow is not always a meow. It can sound very, very differently than when a cat is at home, in the kitchen, at feeding time, or when it's on its way to the vet in its carrier. So all these aspects, I can, using my phonetic methods, analyze more closely. And that's what made me interested in this. I have the tools and I have the cat, so why don't investigate?
So how many vocalizations can cats make?
Tricky question, because not only do we have some fairly stable categories or types, but cats can also merge or combine pure types into two combined or merged types. So I think it's almost an infinite variation.
And do they combine them much the way we would combine speech in a way when we have sort of a mixture of ideas we want to suggest with our language? Or is it situational or is it more generalized?
I think it's situational, context-based mainly. And I think that they use different vocalizations to signal their mental or emotional states or their intentions or their needs or their desires, but they don't make up words and combine them into sentences and use grammar as we humans do when we talk or write.
So getting back to the types of vocalizations, there's sort of a set of broad categories. Then you find that depending on the situation, the cat might change the inflection or the pitch or
yes.
Combine several of the different vocalizations to try to get across meaning? Is that and
even,
what you...
And even use different vowel sounds to convey different meanings as well. I mean, a cat who meows, who is in distress, a kitten who calls for her mother, who is in need for some shelter or is lost or something, she would probably use a mew, which has a lot of E vowels, like meow. And a cat who's discontent, perhaps a bit stressed, sitting in her carrier on the way to the vets, would use other types of vowels like O or oo, moo, for instance. So even the vowel sounds seem to change according to the context, depending on the context.
Can you take us through some of the general categories of cat sounds? Like there's purring. That's something that the cat makes when the mouth is closed. And there's a variety of trills or murmurs that they will make, which is a little different than a purr. But again, the mouth is closed. And then there the meow, which is the cat opens their mouth and closes their mouth. So you can maybe take us through some of the categories, the general categories of vocalizations cats make.
Well, I'll do my best. Purring, if we start with purring, begin with purring, it's a really extremely low-pitched sound. It's so low in frequency that humans can't make out the melody. Instead, we sort of perceive every pulse of purring.
Pulse,
do you
yes.
understand what I'm meaning then?
Yes, yes, the pulse of the purring. Yeah. I've always thought, now, humans make it by sort of rolling their very much the way you would roll an R in, say, Spanish or a Latin language, but keeping your mouth shut and breathing in and breathing out and sort of doing the rolling R motion with your tongue. Is it done differently with cats?
I think so.
Yeah.
We don't quite know exactly how cats purr. I've been reading up on that, and I also have colleagues who are working to find out what goes on, but it is produced in the vocal cords, in the vocal folds, in the larynx, but it's not done in the same way as we, or the cat produces a meow, for instance. So it's another type of vocalization, if you like. And that's why you can't change the pitch in a purr the way you can in a meow. So you can't have a rising or falling melody. It can change a bit, but not as extensively as in other vocalizations of the cat.
From purring and meowing, there's a variety of other sounds that they will make as well. I'm thinking of in times of stress, you know, it might be growling or hissing or spitting or, and the growl is something, you don't often hear cats do that, but when you hear a cat do that, it is like, definitely gets your attention. It almost reminds you, yes, they're related to really big cats that can do you harm.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
There's just a whole range of vocalizations. Can you go through a couple of more of those?
One of the most friendly vocalizations cats do is the trilling. So there are a number of subtypes that I've identified, and by that I mean phonetic subtypes. We have the high-pitched chirrup, the brrrt kind of sound, which often rises towards the end in the pitch, so brrrt goes up towards the end. Can you hear that?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And then there's the low pitch grunt, which sounds almost like a human having vocal fry. We speak very low, so we can hear almost every part. So this sounds a bit like a growl. So if you are unfamiliar with this sound, you may misinterpret it as being an aggressive sound, but it's not. It's quite a friendly sound. It's a greeting sound or even a confirmation sound, like, okay, I'm grateful that you gave me a treat right now, so I'll do a bit of grunt to say thanks. So, short, but very low in pitch. And then there's the murmur, who doesn't have this rolling R ingredient. It's more like a murmur that humans do, like
yeah.
So these are all produced with the mouth closed, but they are not purring. And I combine them into the same category, and they are at least three subtypes.
Now, what I find interesting is that when we look at domestic cats versus cats in the wild or cats that we study in zoos, domesticated cats have far more vocalizations than other members of the cat family. Is this just because they're domesticated and they had to find a way to communicate with humans?
I don't really know, but it could have something to do with it, because humans, we tend to be occupied with our eyes elsewhere. We look at the computer screens at our smartphones. We read books, journals, and so on. And our noses aren't very good at picking up all the scent marks, the scent signals that cats use in their communication with each other. So they need to use sounds. I think they've learned pretty quickly that that's the best way to get our attention. So that may be one of the reasons why cats use sounds with us. But they communicate with sounds towards other cats as well. In the mating season, for instance, and in the communication between mother and her kittens, and also in these territorial situations where they use these agonistic, these aggressive, defensive sounds to fend off or warn enemies, intruders into their territory to get lost. And they tend to avoid getting into real physical fights by vocalizing at each other. They use these growling, yowling, hissing and spitting sounds to sort of decide who's the bigger cat who gets to keep the territory, and the other one, after a while, tends to leave.
Right. In addition to using vocalizations, they use a wide range of non-vocal communication as well. Obviously, meowing at the food dish is one way to get our attention, but there are other ways they'll communicate to try to get our attention as well, and try to communicate some need.
Yeah, sure. I mean, they can use touch. I mean, when they come close enough to us, so they can rub against our legs or try to sort of give us a kiss us with their foreheads against us. So they tell us that, well, come along now. And that's what they do. Cats who are befriended, I mean, mothers and kittens, they tend to use touching as well. They tend to rub each other against one another as well. And that's one way also of leaving a scent message, trying to sort of claim their humans as their territory. We're part of the same group, so we should smell similarly.
Right.
And another way, of course, are visual signals, because cats, if you look at them, they can communicate very, very much using body postures and movements and head movements and ear movements, and even the whiskers can move. They can be stretched forward or backward. So they communicate a lot with these visual signals as well.
One of the most interesting things cats will often do to you is they'll knead you, like kneading bread. What was behind that behavior? Do we know?
Well, we think that kittens do that on their mother's bellies when they want to help the milk production of the mother. So it's a very intimate, friendly way of saying, okay, I'm here now, I'm nursing, and I want to make sure that you don't run out of milk, mummy. and I think they've transferred that behavior when they're kneading on our laps, for instance. It's a very intimate and friendly way of saying that, okay, I'm here, I'm feeling comfortable, and please continue petting me.
Or pay attention to me. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, tail switching I've always thought of that as a sign of agitation. But I think you writing the books is actually, it's more of excitement. It may be agitation. It may be stress, but it's also excitement.
Could be, yeah. And I mean, excitement isn't always positive. It can be negative excitement as well. But a cat who's sitting on the windowsill and sees a bird outside the window may move its tail. And it's not because it's aggressive or frightened. It's because maybe it may be interested in the bird, wants to hunt it, catch it, eat it, probably. And that's one way of dealing with that as a cat, I think. Maybe it's sort of an inner conflict that I want to get to this bird, but there's a window between us. What do I do? So I think cats who move their tails aren't always aggressive or frightened. They may be in some sort of, I don't know, they may be thinking about something. How do I do to get what I want, for instance?
My guest today is Suzanne Schetz. She's an associate professor of phonetics at the Center for Languages and Literature at Lund University in Sweden, and the author of The Secret Language of Cats, How to Understand Your Cat for a Better, Happier Relationship. Fascinating look, because you take the science you've been doing on humans and you apply this to cat vocalizations. I mean, in some detail, where you're looking exactly at every sound that they make, examining the vowel sounds, the consonant sounds, where it's placed on the tongue. So you've made this a really serious part of your overall research in phonetics.
Yes, I have. And actually, it's not that hard to transfer phonetic investigations from human speech to cat vocalizations. Cats have vocal organs as well as we do. They may be smaller, but they are in many ways quite similar to ours. They have tongues. They look a bit different. The shape, the length, the size is different, but they do have tongues that they can move. They have jaws. They have lips. They have larynxes, the voice box that we have. It's smaller and it's a bit differently shaped, but they are similar in many ways. So we use the same methods. We produce sounds the same way, in very similar ways. So it's actually not that unnatural to use phonetic methods to study cat sounds.
Now let's take something as simple as the meow. This is, you know, the universal word that represents cat vocalizations. What you found is there are myriads of meows that a cat will do towards a human, and they mean very, very different things in all sorts of situations. You alluded to some earlier in the interview, but if you could sort of take us through some of the variations a cat will make in this meowing sound that would convey very different meanings.
Yeah, and we have to remember one thing before we start. I would try to describe different meow types in a second, but we have also to remember that every human and cat pair, they develop sort of a secret language of their own. They get accustomed to their vocal habits and they learn to react to specific inflections or nuances in a sound. So not every cat uses the exact same sounds, but I've found that many cats use at least 4 or even 5 subcategories of the meow, one being the mew, the high-pitched meow with E vowels, the one I said earlier that kittens usually use, but adult cats can use that as well when they are in distress, for instance. And then there's the squeak, which is a raspier, quite nasal, also quite high-pitched, mew-like call, but it uses air vowels instead, so wah, for instance, that would be a squeak. And then we have the moan with the O or oo vowels, like moan, which is a cat who's discontent, maybe a bit stressed, anxious. And then we have the typical meow, which can have so many sub-variants of its own, but this is a combination of different vowel sounds resulting in this characteristic meow sequence. But they can sound quite different. Not all meows have all these vowels in them. They can be meh or meow or whatever. And the pitch can be high, it can be rising, it can be rising, falling, and so on. So there's so many variations of this sound. And finally, one of my favorite sounds is the combination of a trill and a meow. This sort of a meow type of sound, which starts out with a friendly trill and then ends in a meow. So it's a sort of the most friendly request. I know I'm being friendly towards you, but I really need something now. My food bowl is empty or whatever.
Now, I found that really interesting that every cat and their human will develop their own sort of language based on, I assume it's on how do I get my needs met from the cat's perspective? What do I need? What do I need to vocalize to convey meaning? Do you think that's the case?
Yeah, I think so. How do I need to vary my voice in order to get what I want from my humans? And I think that it's not a coincidence that cat meowing or cat howling, you know, during the mating season, that humans react so strongly and so instantly to this type of sound. Because if we think about it, it's actually quite similar to human young children weeping or crying. The pitch is about the same, and the voice quality, this pressing, strained type of a voice quality is the same, and it's also a fairly strong, loud sound. So that's a very good way. I think cats have learned to use that. That's why they meow so much as humans, because we are biologically programmed to react to our own offspring when they need us. And when the cats can imitate that type of sound, they get what they want. So I think they're quite clever cats.
Hmm. Now, do cats develop different vocalizations depending on what part of the world they're in? You know, if you're speaking different languages to the cat, will they develop a slightly different way of responding?
I think so. We actually are about to investigate this now, currently in a research project called Melody in Human Cats Communication, where we've recorded cats. We have now about 70 cats, actually, from the south of Sweden, where Lund University is situated, my home area, and also the Stockholm area, and one area in between called Östergötland. And we are analyzing these vocalizations now, and we try to relate them to the dialects, the accents that the humans use when they talk to their cats, in order to see if there are any differences in the way they use their melodies or vowels or whatever. So we don't know yet, but there might be something in that, because animals they're known to develop group dialects, and even whales, wolves, all sorts of animals seem to use slightly different variants of their vocalization repertoire, depending on where on the planet they're living.
Interesting. Oh, that is really fascinating work. Now, one of the parts of the book talks about how some of the ways humans can communicate with cats using some of these same vocalizations. Now, I know you've studied a number of owners. Do some people do that, sort of imitate the cat to sort of convey meaning back to the cat?
Yeah, they do. And I think it's up to the owners to try this out or not. I've read books about cats who have behavioral problems that you should not use aggressive sounds towards cats because they can be misinterpreted and the situation could get worse. But if you're careful and you try to use the friendly sounds to begin with, I found that, I mean, cats produce these sounds. They should be able to understand them. And if we are very careful and try to imitate them as well as possible, they might be able to understand us a bit better. I just this morning I tried to trill at one of my cats to get him to follow me inside, and I tried. And when I raised the melody, the pitch at the end, I said brrrt, he instantly turned around and followed me. And that's what mothers do when they want their kittens to follow her. So there might be something into that. I haven't studied it as much as I would like to, but I think there's something you can do in order to improve your communication with your cat, if you're careful.
A couple examples in the book you mentioned was like if your cat is a little agitated and you want the cat to settle down, maybe try purring. Has that worked? Have you ever tried that?
Oh, I don't know how to purr. I try to practice my purring skills sometimes when I have one of my cats is in my lap and we're just sitting having a good time together. And I'm not quite sure if it works, but sometimes, I mean, cats, it's possible that cats purr as a sort of self-soothing sound, and humans react well. We feel better when we have a cat, when we hear cats purring. So why not? I mean, it's not a dangerous sound, so why not try to purr to your cat the next time you're having a cuddle with her?
Now, you mentioned if a cat's getting up on a piece of furniture or doing a behavior that you want to avoid, oftentimes the owner will say, "Oh, kitty, don't do that," or something like that, or, you know. Mm-hmm. And you suggest maybe a spit or something like that,
Yeah, I mean, you should be careful when you use aggressive sounds, but if your cat is on its way up to the stove, which is really hot and it's a matter of the cat maybe getting injured, I usually hiss or spit at my cat. I do that. And the cat understands it and instantly jumps down. So I don't think you should use it systematically to get what you want from the cat. But when it's a dangerous situation, it seems like the cat really knows, okay, this is a warning sound. There's something wrong here. I should just leave whatever I'm doing and jump down or do something else.
My guest today is a phoneticist, Suzanne Schütz, associate professor at Lund University in Sweden and the author of The Secret Language of Cats. She's been devoting her work in phonetics and human communication and devoting that to cats in the last few years. What are some of the most important questions we want to know about how cats communicate with humans via vocalizations over the next couple of years? What are some of the things you're studying right now?
Well, right now we're studying the pitch, the melody, the intonation quite closely, because I think there's a lot of information entailed in how cats vary their voices in terms of pitch, but also in terms of voice quality sometimes. And I think that there may be something there which relates to the degree of urgency, for instance, or the degree of an emotional mental state. A cat who has some pain, who has may use a different melody, different intonation than a cat who is really in a severe pain. And that might be helpful for every human to learn more about that and be able to perhaps judge when it's time to really take the cat to the vet, or if it's just a scratch, which will heal by itself. Which also, I mean, in cat shelters, cats who are stressed may be using another type of melody than cats who are more content, and so on. So I think we really need to learn more about how cats vary their melodies when they vocalize at us.
And you were talking about the practical applications, thinking of veterinarians' offices, being able to better understand what the cat's communicating. I mean, I could see where this would be very useful in a lot of situations.
I think so, too. It's not the only thing you need to examine, of course. I mean, you have to look at the cats and try to look at the visual signals, and you have to, of course, take blood tests and so on. But it can be a complement if you're unsure how much pain is this cat in. You can perhaps listen to the way he's vocalizing and perhaps get some clues there.
Sounds like fascinating work. It's a really interesting book, The Secret Language of Cats. Suzanne Schetz, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Suzanne Schetz is a associate professor of phonetics at the Center for Languages and Literature at Lund University in Sweden. She's currently in the midst of a 5-year project to better understand cat vocalizations, and she's the author of The Secret Language of Cats, How to Understand Your Cat for a Better, Happier Relationship. It's published by Hanover Square. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.